Thanks for listening to Schlereth & Evans On Demand, presented by Bathfitter. Hey guys, if you drop the ball when it comes to your bath or shower remodel, Bathfitter doesn't just fit your bath, they fit your budget and schedule. Bathfitter will install a tub or shower in just one day. Bathfitter's price guarantee is a slam dunk. Bathfitter, it just fits.
Gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Time now for the DenverSports.com front page.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Taking a look at the top stories in Denver sports, taken from your online home for the best opinions and information on the Broncos, Nuggets, Avalanche, Rockies, and more.
What in the name of Dan Issel?
With today's DenverSports.com front page, here's Schlereth and Evans.
News team assemble!
Here we go. We'll start with D-Mac writing about the Avs win in Ottawa last night, where Jonas Johansson's crazy save steals the show for the rocking and rolling Avs. In case you missed it, here's what it sounded like.
Matheson saves. Giroux. One time, a big rebound. Oh, Johansson denies to break it. And somehow that puck stays out.
TSN in Canada with the call. That save came with less than 10 seconds left in the game. Helped preserve the Avs 5-4 win over Ottawa. Jonas Johansson. Okay, so who have they had for backup goalies so far this year?
Ooh, that's a great question.
Okay, here you go.
Go ahead, lay it on me.
Pavel Francouz.
Francouz.
Eustace Onanen.
Keith Kincaid.
And Johansson. Four backup goalies, and I don't think I'm missing anybody, but no. I mean, think about that. Four different backup goaltenders you've had to turn to.
I'll tell you what, that save was, with 4 seconds left in a power play, that save was spectacular. Saved it from going into overtime. Big time. I mean, that's a big time. Those are the kind of saves that, you know what else that does for you as a team? You skate on. You know how you skate through and you tap the goaltender. You know, you give him a little love tap with your stick. You're like, hey, dude, save this. Good job. Like, there's a confidence that will build not only for the team toward the goaltender, but the goaltender for the team.
Yeah, I would think that's kind of a nice team bonding type of moment. Like when you have a guy who is only playing in his second game of the season.
Yeah,
it's a back to back. On the road, and you step up and get that kind of a performance, that kind of a win. I don't know. I would just think that kind of galvanizes the team. Hey, we're all in this. Everybody's contributing. Everybody's got a piece of this win. I would think that would really give a team a boost.
That stick tap is the equivalent of the butt slap for the football player.
Yeah.
You know how you pat a guy on the hiney?
Mm-hmm.
Good job.
Mm-hmm.
Or the tip of the cap. Pitcher tips the cap to the outfielder who makes a great catch. I don't know what the NBA does. Secret handshake.
Fist bump. Maybe a fist bump?
Fist bump.
Used to be high fives.
High fives. Scratch Jokic.
Hey, Jokic. That was a great team one. Get over here so he can use your...
His scratches
like you're a cat post.
Right. His scratches are healing.
They are healing.
I tell you what,
they were some angry welts there for a while.
Yeah, they have the circus shut down for a couple of weeks. Probably got shut down from the health inspection. Once it starts back up, you'll be wrestling bears again, getting scratched up.
Well, speaking of Jokic, at DenverSports.com, we have an article written by Will Peterson, who asks, I think, a very genuine question. How did, out of nowhere, Nikola Jokic lose his favored status as MVP? Like, literally, it seems like overnight he went from being a real commanding MVP favorite to now Joel Embiid has better MVP odds. How did that happen?
That's the attention. I directly point this to Perkins. Kendrick Perkins. And all of a sudden, all the attention gets
focused. He gets that much credit for this?
All the focus gets put on Jokic, gets put on the Nuggets, because of Kendrick Perkins, and then obviously J.J. Redick defending Kendrick Perkins just lays him out. just splays him out on national television. But all of a sudden, that attention gets focused. And then you know what? All those East Coast voters start watching the Nuggets, and they look like garbage for four games in a row. How are we going to make this guy the MVP? I tell you, I really do think it has a lot to do with the attention that was focused upon the Nuggets based on the dialogue and the narrative created by Kendrick Perkins and J.J. Riddick.
That makes me sick.
Me too. We got to get J.J. on here. He told me to come on.
What the f*** are you watching?
So you're telling me that Kendrick Perkins can say something that is just blatantly stupid and then counter it by saying something that is completely racist.
And factually incorrect.
And get away with it to the point where it actually moves the meter like this? Wow, that is sad.
It is. It's bad.
By the way, Nikola Jokic during the Nuggets' four-game losing streak. Yeah, let's put it all on Jokic because during those games, he went 18-12-8, 37-11-11, 35-20-11, and 28-8-7. But yeah, let's punish him.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Joel Embiid has played seven less games than Nikola Jokic has. Seven. You're right. If Embiid wins this MVP, this goes back to what you were saying when you had those conversations in New York with Nick Wright and Chris Broussard, that MVP voters are just looking for any excuse they can.
Any reason
to not give Jokic the MVP because they don't want a third-time MVP who has not won a championship to get that distinction, because it's only been Russell, Chamberlain, and Bird, and they do not want to put Jokic to that category.
Here's the other thing that has happened. You start losing games the way they've lost games through athleticism and everything else like that, and lack of defense, just lack of toughness. And you look at that, and it taints the way you think about them come playoff. Like, they've got great playoff chances. They've got great chances to represent the Western Conference in the NBA Finals because of the injury to Durant, the way that, you know, the way, nobody else is taking the reins. John Morant has been suspended, blah, blah, blah. And then, so now all of a sudden the national focus is come on you, and you have played soft. Your own coach called you a soft mentality. And that's what people have seen the last four games. Not last night, notwithstanding. But yeah, that's how fragile their perch is, if you will, and his hold on the MVP.
So if it can change that quickly with just a four-game swing, four losses for the Nuggets, the Sixers have won four in a row during that time. They're overall have won six in a row. So you're telling me a four-game small sample size out of a long 82-game season can flip the MVP narrative. Well, if that's the case, then when Embiid and the Sixers come in here, if Jokic dominates, should flip it again, right?
It should.
It should.
But
it won't.
No.
But it should.
But yeah, it's when you're looking for an excuse to take it away, any excuse works. It's hard to get it. It's like trust. Like, you trust with your wife or with your kids. It's really hard to build. It takes a lifetime to build trust. One stupid decision, and you can lose all that trust, all that goodwill you've built up. And that's kind of where Jokic is right now when it comes to the MVP. I think that's a great analogy. Write that down, Johnny. Write it down.
You know what also goes into that trust?
What's that?
Farts. Same thing. It can take a lifetime to build up trust.
Yeah.
And all it takes is one time.
Just takes one soilage. And then the next thing you know, you talk to your own body.
By the way,
I can't trust you anymore.
You Paul Pierce is acknowledging the fact
that
people think that he pooped during the NBA Finals. That's why he had to fake an injury and get carted off in a wheelchair.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You think that happened?
Oh, there's no question. No question. He had the rumbly gut. Yeah. He had the rumbly gut. Thought, I may have soiled myself, you know. Give me the wheelchair so I can. Oh, there was another. Was it Marshawn Lynch for the Seahawks that essentially faked the knee injury and got carted off? But No, it's DK. DK.
No, that was this year. But several years ago, there was somebody who got carted off because he lit. Oh no! I know who it was. Tony Siragusa. He talked about it in the which is not a big surprise. But he talked about it in that the Ravens, the 2000 season. They carted him off because he was backed up. He took a bunch of laxatives, and he literally crapped himself during a game. And so then he sat on the field and acted like he had a knee injury and told them, "You got to cart me off. Don't stand me up because I literally soiled through my uniform."
That is.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is awesome. Goose.
God rest his soul. Goose was.
Oh, man. One of a kind.
He was. I had the pleasure of hanging out with him a couple different times. You want to talk about a piece of work. What you see is. None of that was contrived. That is 100% Goose.
At DenverSports.com, Jake Shapiro writes how Brandon Stokley came out yesterday and made a case that Jerry Jeudy's trade value will never be as high as it is right now. The Broncos should sell high, and they should do whatever they can, get whatever they can, in moving Jerry Jeudy. And as Stoke has said, he's been a supporter of Jeudy.
Yeah.
He's been a fan of Jeudy's.
No.
But even he thinks it'd be great if they could move him. Mm-hmm. Do you agree?
Absolutely. Get value for a guy who, one, I mean, we get enamored with athleticism, and I understand why we get enamored with athleticism, but let's face it. To this point, minus three games or four games, he's been a disappointment. If you looked at his draft status, where he got drafted, all the hype that came out of school when he got drafted, where he got drafted, and what he's actually produced, he's been a disappointment.
Yes, but okay. Overall, you would describe his career to this point as a disappointment, but would you also acknowledge that it would appear, though, that his arrow's trending up?
I would acknowledge.
Because if that's the case, then don't you have to think long and hard about doing something, because he does appear to be improving.
Yeah, that's why I say if you can get good value for him, move him. The other thing is, Mike, and say what you will, and maybe they're freak accidents, but 2 years ago, got hurt in the first game of the season, missed 6-7 weeks with a high ankle sprain. Last year, he missed time again, I think with an ankle.
This surprises me because you're somebody who correctly acknowledges that the draft is a crapshoot. And so what you want to do is take one of the few good players that the Broncos currently have and trade him for unknown draft picks.
See, but that's where I don't think he's a good player. I think he's an exceptional athlete. I don't think he's a good football player. I just think he's an exceptional athlete.
Well, you still
need a big difference.
But you still need exceptional athletes playing football.
Yeah, but I'd
not rather. Not every guy on your team is going to be a great football player, but they can be a heck of an athlete.
Yeah, I'd rather.
Making football plays.
Yeah, I'd rather have a great, great football player. So, like, I am not a fan of all the things that you have to do to be great. Like I said, man, he would have cracked the lineup in our team.
But don't you allow some room, though, for growth, maturity, understanding what it takes to be a pro? Isn't there room for these guys to learn that?
Well, you would hope, yeah. You would hope. I mean, I would hope that would be the case, and I would hope under this coaching staff that growth would happen. But again, if I could parlay that into a first-rounder with salary certainty, or I don't have to consider, you know, whether I'm going to pay Jerry Jeudy, whether I'm going to give him a contract or not, would I take that? Would I take that risk-reward gamble with the injury history and everything? Yeah, I would.
So when Stokes says his trade value will never be as high as it is right now, define value then. What do you have to get for Jerry Jeudy before you then back off?
Right, the Broncos are looking.
You're not going to get a first-round pick for him.
I don't think so either.
I'd be stunned.
Right, I don't think so either.
All right, so what's value?
Then I would be like, all right, we're not getting a first rounder.
am I getting a high second rounder, then I would still consider it. But mid to late second round, then I'd go with yours. Hey, he hasn't been in an environment or a culture that has developed him as a football player. He hasn't been held to a standard. You know, when he decides not to set a pick, when he decides not to block somebody, not to give effort in that, now we're going to deal with him. And he'll be embarrassed in front of his teammates. And we're going to see what he's made of before we make that decision on money. But if I can get a first rounder for him, you know, a high second rounder, then maybe I move him.
This is damn catchy.
So that was the entrance music for Mets closer Edwin Diaz.
Mm-hmm.
Timmy Trumpet. Unfortunately, Diaz wrecked his knee, tore his patellar tendon.
Yeah, patellar tendon, yeah.
In that celebration the other day in the World Baseball Classic, he's out for and likely out for the rest of the season.
Oh yeah, that's a 8-month injury at the very least.
But the Mets, who have a monster payroll, aren't they like up over well over $300 million?
They don't care.
Their owner has, you talk about big pockets. He's a fellow big pocket.
Who is there?
Cohen, right? Steve Cohen?
Is it?
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, big money.
So they're in it to win it this year, but now you lose your closer. They need a closer.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Mason at DenverSports.com suggests the Rockies should try to work out a deal for Daniel Bard. And Daniel Bard, what a great story Bard has been. Yeah. He was out of baseball. He had the yips. He couldn't. Blessed with the hammer of Thor for a right arm, he couldn't throw it over the plate.
Right.
But he's worked through it to the point where he's become an all-star closer. In fact, his 3.8 WAR led all Major League Baseball relief pitchers last year.
The dude is legit. You know, his story is incredible. So my son did a rehab assignment with him. I think they were both, I can't remember who they were with, maybe the Marlins or whatever. And Daniel said his arm works like you will, like nobody, like he just is tossing
effortless
gas, just effortless. And then he went on as a consultant for, I don't know who it was. Was it Diamond, whoever it was. And they're throwing, he's throwing with guys as a consultant, like as a coach. He's just throwing with guys in the outfield. And the guys are like, dude, like, do you realize how hard you throw? And then he goes, all right, let me just do a tryout. And a bunch of people showed up to tryout, and he's throwing 99, you know, just effortless 99. Gets signed by the Rockies, and what a great story it's been
great
the last
story.
Couple of years, man.
And maybe that
7 years he was out of baseball.
Seven years.
Yeah.
No, he was a lights-out reliever for the Red Sox, and then they foolishly tried to turn him into a starter.
Yep.
It messed with his head, and he got the yips. He couldn't throw a strike.
Hmm.
And so his story is an amazing story, and I can understand the Rockies and Dick Montfort, who know that they're not actually in the business of winning baseball, so they try to, A, make the ballpark the star, and B, they try to have just enough fan favorites so that, you know, the fans have some identifiable players that they can
drink to.
Exactly. And Bard is one of those guys, apparently.
Yeah.
Because if you are a smart baseball organization that is actually committed to winning baseball, you know, games,
mm-hmm.
you would take a guy like Daniel Bard and realize he doesn't help us. We're not going anywhere.
Sure.
But his value for a contending team like the Mets is huge. And we could get something for him.
Yes.
In helping the process,
great,
you know, to win baseball games.
Down the road, it's a great thought process. Which means tonight's not going to happen.
Right. Trading Daniel Bard to the Mets would be a great idea.
A lot of times,
but it's not going to happen.
Tonight it didn't happen.
Yeah, tonight it's not going to happen.
It's a great move by Mace, by the way.
It's a great thought process.
It's a great thought process.
It really is.
Yeah. So that's what's going on at DenverSports.com. DenverSports.com front page.
check that out. There's always great content there for you to check out and always updated fresh stuff for you throughout the course of the day. Check that out, denversports.com. It is an Is It Just Me Friday, giving you a chance to get those hot sports takes off your chest. This is stuff we want you to unburden yourself. It's stuff that you've listened to, you've read, you've watched, you've picked up on during the course of the week. You just got to get it out there before you go into the weekend. So hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line,
like
303-713-1043.
Yeah, like Gordo did. Gordo said maybe the Rockies could pay the Mets $50 million to take Daniel Bard.
Boom!
It's brilliant, Gordo.
Genius.
Brilliant.
W.
Genius. Mace, by the way, is going to join us coming up next. Easy. So we'll ask him how he came up with that good connecting of the dots.
Yeah, that's a newsman.
Mace will join us coming up next.
When the day is done, the game is over, and you need a break from all the stress. Relax in your tub or shower from Bath Fitter. Bath Fitter will fit your budget with a price match guarantee. No money down, no payments for up to 5 years. Get the ball rolling. Visit bathfitter.com today.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
It's time for Schlereth and Evans' Big Story of the Day.
What? It's just that you're so big.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with this morning's biggest story in Denver sports.
Big is big. Big is huge.
Andrew Mason is our senior Bronco writer at denversports.com. He joins us now. Although, Mace, we've been talking and raving and congratulating
intrigued
on the I guess the hypothesis you came up with, the idea that with Edwin Diaz going down for the Mets, that the Rockies should try to trade Daniel Bard to the Mets. We all suspect that won't happen. Get down to the crux of it. Why won't the Rockies do something that seems so obvious if the Mets are interested?
Well, I mean, I think the euphemistic phrase that I used is that the Rockies are just kind of built different. They go about things in a different way, I think, from everybody else, for better or for worse, mostly for worse. I mean, look, an elite closer, and Daniel Bard last year was terrific for the Rockies. But for them, I mean, he's the difference between fifth place and fourth place. And usually for teams that are in that realm, you're looking to trade that play, a closer of that type of value, get back some prospects, continue stocking your farm system, and look ahead and build for the future. That hasn't been the Rockies' way. It's been, you know, and what I get into in my piece at denversports.com is how, you know, the Mets, this is a team, they actually have a decent farm system. They've been willing to not only spend money in the free agent market, obviously, but trade some of those, but trade prospects in order to get immediate help. And with Edwin Diaz out, you know, the Mets are probably in go for it right now mode more than maybe anybody else in any other sport. And so if, like, if you're sitting here and saying, okay, can I make a match here, a deal that would make sense? It would make sense for the Rockies, who've already lost Brendan Rodgers for the season. It would make sense for the Rockies to trade Daniel Bard to the Mets right now, not wait for the deadline, but do it now. The value of Daniel Bard may not go any higher because, you know, sometimes closers tend to be on a roller coaster type of ride, and they have some wild fluctuations. Daniel Bard's coming off a year in which he led all major league relief pitchers in wins above replacement. So I'm basically, I know it's probably not going to happen, fellas, but I just wanted to put it out there, because the moment we heard that Edwin Diaz was out for the season, I'm like, okay, there's one person that the Mets could plug in right now, and he's right there on the Rockies. And so that's just, I just kind of put that out there, knowing that, yeah, it probably isn't going to happen, but it would make a heck of a lot of sense.
All right, there's nobody, Mace, and I mean nobody, that crunches the numbers like you. You are a number-crunching fool. So how much do the Rockies have to spend to trade him. Like, how much money do they have to give to the Mets to trade him?
Sweeten the deal.
Like, $25 million, $30 million. What do you think?
Are we talking the full Arenado here?
Yeah, I'm going the full Arenado. I love it. The full Arenado.
Oh, like, they'll have to give him, well, at least with Bart's contract, I believe it's, he signed a 2-year extension. And that was another thing. They could have, there were rumblings throughout Major League Baseball heading into the trade deadline last year. Oh, Daniel Bard could be like the best reliever on the market. Not only did they not trade him, they signed a 2-year extension for, I believe it was $19 million over those 2 years. So I guess you probably have to trade, if you're the Rockies and you're going about it in an Arenado trade type fashion, you're probably trading about $14 million to the Mets as well.
I like it. I like it. Hey, are the Broncos done right now? We've heard the name C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who's one of my, like, literally – on film study, one of my favorite players that's available. He's the guy's a phenomenal player. So are they done, or do you think they're going to continue to add here?
I mean, I think if they add, you're probably talking about C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who, he's a perfect fit, I think, in multiple ways for the Broncos right now. You might see some lesser moves. I mean, they brought, like, for example, they brought back PJ Locke yesterday. There was some interest in bringing Isang Bassi back. Those were two guys that were restricted free agents. They want to pay the $2.627 million RFA tender, but they want him back at a lower number. So you might see some kind of some fringe moves like that over the coming days. And also, watch next week when the market settles and you start getting into the Tier 2 and Tier 3 type of free agents, because there could be some bargains to be had out there. But as far as, like, the Tier 1, I think, basically, I'd be shocked if there were a name other than C.J. Gardner-Johnson coming out of the Broncos.
Mace, is this week, with all that the Broncos have done in free agency, enough to change your view of next season? Meaning, going into free agency, if you thought this was a blank win team, where are they now after this week?
I thought it was an 8-win team going into free agency. I think it's a 9-10 win team now. I think they've done it. They've done it's not only what they've done, it's what they've shown. They kind of they didn't show like what they're going to do tactically. But they really kind of, I think, tipped their hand as far as what the point of emphasis is going to be. We're going to see a power run game. We also see the commitment when you see them bringing guys like Tre'Mont Smith and Chris Manhertz and Mike Burton and even bring back PJ Locke and Alex Singleton. These are all players that are going to have a significant role on special teams. Tre'Mont Smith isn't just a returner. He's a guy that's going to be a gunner for you as well. And so we see the tangible evidence of what they're trying to do in that phase of the game. And because of that, I think you look at this, and even if Russell Wilson isn't all the way back, I think they're going to play a style of football that's going to allow them to win some games at the margins that they haven't won in the past few years. And that's the sort of thing that can make you a team that is sitting there at 10-7 at the end of the season and maybe is sneaking into one of those wild card spots when it's playoff time. And I think that's a legitimate possibility for the team this year.
Is it fair to say, and I can't take credit for this, I have to give it to the texters, but one of our texters brilliantly pointed this out, okay? That they spent $250 million this year to cover up the $250 million mistake they made last year in free agency. This is all about mitigating Russell Wilson and not making Russell be the focal point of the offense.
I can't argue with that point. I think that's a pretty wise assessment there, that you've done the things around him. This is the type of building that you'd have if you had a quarterback that was mid to lower mid tier, and you're saying, okay, let's get this all right, or everything else right around him, and support the quarter and support that quarterback's week. So we're not asking him to be the hero, right? Now, Russell Wilson's salary he's getting, basically, that's the sort of money where heroism, in a football sense, is kind of is expected. But these moves show that you're gonna try to grind out some games. You're gonna try to win. You're gonna try to win games, you know, with smart fundamental play on special teams, and then kind of come what may in the passing game. It's a very, you know, it's honestly, it looks kind of like a classic Bill Parcells team with the Giants. They kind of obviously had some years where they won a lot more games than I'm talking about for the Broncos, but it's a different time than it was then. And of course, Sean Payton spent 3 years working under Bill Parcells and learned an awful lot about team building from his years around Parcells. So it's got kind of that old, it's got something of an old school look to it. And certainly I think that the texter has a good point about kind of maybe masking Russell Wilson a little bit.
Love it. Hey, Mace, man, we appreciate you, buddy. Thanks, and great job on the Rockies take. I think that was really astute. Appreciate you.
My pleasure, fellas. Have a great weekend.
Andrew Mason, our senior Bronco writer, who dabbles in a little bit of the other sports as well. Good stuff there. Read that Daniel Bard to the Mets, Why It Would Make a Lot of Sense article at denversports.com. He joins us on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. It is an Is It Just Me Friday. We'll wrap it up with the best of the Is It Just Me's, and yet another example today why Denver is such a world-class sports town. Details next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Man, today's one of those days that you feel lucky to live in this city as a sports town. Because think about what's going on. You've got the defending Stanley Cup Avs.
Uh-huh.
You've got the Nuggets, who are the best team in the West right now.
No, Perk's saying the Clippers are.
Is he really?
Most dangerous team in the West. Perk has got the Clippers.
The Clippers are frauds, okay? They're frauds.
According to Perk.
They're frauds. The only guy on that team that's legit is Kawhi Leonard. Everybody else on that team is a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
I do not sweat the Clippers at all. Bring them on. Please. Please. Kawhi would give me some nervous moments, but that's it.
Kawhi's legit.
That's it. Anywho.
All right.
But you've got that. You know, the Broncos are the Broncos. No matter what's going on with the Broncos, they're still the Broncos.
Plus,
and the Rockies.
All the stuff they've done in free agency. Yeah. I mean, it's been exciting.
And
right?
The Rockies, hey. What a place to hang out.
Spring hope's eternal.
Right.
I mean, it's just fun.
But today, the NCAA basketball tournament is back in Denver. And honestly, I don't know what took so long, because every single time the tournament comes through town, it is always a huge success. Everybody raves about it. The crowds are great. And it's just a great environment. And it's just further proof. We got four games on tap for today. And so it kicks off this morning at 11:30. UC Santa Barbara takes on Baylor, followed by NC State, North Carolina State, and Creighton at 2. And then tonight's session has Grand Canyon University taking on the Zags, Gonzaga, at 5:30. And then the nightcap at 8 o'clock tonight should be a good one, Arizona State and TCU.
That is great. Yeah, it is great. That is great.
Where's Creighton? That's Omaha.
Is that where?
Yeah,
Creighton is Omaha.
The Blue Jays. Yep.
Dude, that's awesome.
But it's why. Remember, we were having the debate about with new ownership and the idea that, hey, if you have deep pockets, they'll come in, maybe build a new stadium,
right?
Get the retractable roof here. You know, let's make this a showcase for big time events. You do that, you get a Final Four within 5 years of that new place opening.
Oh, no question.
And you probably get put into the rotation.
Yes.
For a Final Four.
Yeah, don't they, in Indianapolis in the rotation?
Absolutely.
If it's in Indianapolis, it can be in Denver.
Right?
Absolutely. Well, Indianapolis is a really, like, Denver's a great town. Indianapolis is a really cool town downtown. Like, you can walk, all the hotels, you can walk right to the stadium.
Sure.
It's like,
oh, no, Indianapolis is great for a big-time event. Super Bowl, Final Four, sure.
Let's, let me ask you this, though.
Better than here?
If you did that, seriously, if you redid the stadium, would you really want to go out toward the airport? Or would you want that retractable roof right down, like Coors Field, a centerpiece of downtown Denver?
I don't necessarily care where it's built. I just want it to be built.
Yeah, I just think it would be really, just really cool right there.
Okay, that's fine. I'm not going to fight you on that one. But I want a world-class
right
stadium.
You can do
that can host
you can do what
all
they
the
did.
Events.
You can do what they did when they redid Mile High in the first place, right? They just put it in the parking lot, and I don't know what they did parking-wise.
And then built the new one next and to it while it was going on?
Yeah. It didn't bother me because I didn't go down there.
Yeah.
So I was fine with it.
But that, as you see March Madness going on all mm-hmm. around us, and you get it on a small scale today and tonight with the first and second round games here in Denver, now step back and say, okay,
mm-hmm.
take all of that excitement, take the fact that you're going to have, I just mentioned eight schools.
Right.
You're going to have eight different fan bases here walking around town, wearing their gear, you know, having little pep rallies and all that right. kind of stuff, spending all their money here. Welcome. Thank you. And but be able to do that smaller scale event, but on the biggest scale there is in college basketball, that's a Final Four. I think it'd be awesome.
It would be awesome. By the way, were there any 12-5 upsets yesterday?
There were not.
There was, remember, I picked all the five seeds because I always picked the wrong 12-5. Like, there's going to be one.
Right.
So I said, instead of losing two because I'll pick the wrong one, I'm just going to lose one game in the 12-5. Now, there was a 15-2 upset, right? And there was a 13-4 upset.
Correct.
But I was just checking it.
No, the 12-5s yesterday, Duke blew out Oral Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
And San Diego State held off Charleston with the okay. mother of all bad beats.
Let me see. How far?
Anyway.
I'm trying to see
no,
how far
no,
I had.
No 5-12s yet.
I'm trying to see how far I had our guys.
Who's our guys?
Well, I was trying to see how far I had Arizona.
Oh, yes.
I don't know.
You are only really screwed in your pool, your bracket, if you had Arizona. Well, certainly if you had them winning at all, you're screwed.
Right.
If you had them in the final game, you're screwed.
Uh-huh.
I think you can make up for the... If you had them in the final four, you could still survive that. But you can't lose any more Final Four teams this early.
Right. Right. I can't read this.
Are you feeling better about the Nuggets after last night?
No longer,
you know, searching around for that panic button. Keep it close.
Yeah.
I feel one game, even though it wasn't impressive.
I still have concern about athletic teams that can stand around the three-point line, that have the ability to drive and score in the paint and knock down threes. I have concern about our ability to play defense on the perimeter. That's a concern with the real athletic teams. So, but I do like the way they started that game, the energy they started that game with last night, and I like the way they finished. So, that part was good.
Are you ready to come around to my way of thinking that people are way, way, way overreacting to what's gone on in these four losses? That this is just, this is a slump. This isn't a sign of things unraveling.
Mm-hmm.
It's a slump. Everybody goes through a slump.
Mm-hmm.
Great teams go through slumps. I'm not saying the Nuggets are great, but slumps happen. So are you willing to agree with me that what we've watched is a slump and not a sign of things coming apart? I mean,
your pause speaks volumes.
You're probably a great slump buster for somebody in college.
Nobody
would know more about breaking slumps than you.
Wow.
So I'm going to agree with you.
So this is where we're at, huh?
You just waited.
You just waited till the last 2 minutes of the show. You just waited till the Friday news dump to just get that shot in there, huh? I'm going to shame me a little bit heading off into the weekend.
Yeah, I just
had to get that last shot in, huh?
I'm just saying you would know a lot more about slump busting.
Hmm. Man, today's a beautiful day. You going to have your landscaping company over for
look at you.
Evaluation?
You go after the low-hanging fruit.
Oh, Mike. And you don't? You don't?
Like, mine had some good thought process.
Uh-huh.
I'm just teasing you, buddy.
Monday.
You know I think you're a handsome fella.
Make a note. Monday, we are going to be out at Sam's Number 3 downtown. 15th and Curtis,
mm-hmm.
Schlereth and Evans Breakfast Club. Come on by. We're going to be broadcasting the show there. Hang out with us. Get some brekkie. Mm. And watch the show we put on. And I'm not talking about our show.
No.
I'm talking about the show.
The show.
The show.
I will inhale my corned beef hash and eggs within, I don't know,
5 minutes.
Easy. You will savor whatever it is you order for an hour.
There's a lot to savor there.
Oh, boy.
Bring your appetites, people. Mm-hmm. Bring those appetites. We'll see you there Monday morning. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy the hoops down at Ball Arena. Good luck with your brackets. The Players Club is coming up next.
When your team is in hot water and you need a break from the play-by-play, Bathfitter can install your tub or shower in just one day. And just like a coach, Bathfitter is in your corner offering a watertight, seamless wall. A design consultant will take accurate measurements of your tub or shower and recommend the products that fit your budget. Bathfitter has special financing available with no money down and no interest for up to 5 years. Now that's a game changer. Visit Bathfitter.com to book your in-home consultation. Bathfitter, it just fits.